that God will challenge you and encourage you, that the gospel, we can stand strong in the gospel in our daily lives, okay, as we face the trials of life. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Ready? Let's read all the three verses together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, even as we have learned how we were sinners against you, but then you knew we couldn't save ourselves. You sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, where, Lord, you dealt with our sin once and for all, but at the same time, you demonstrated your love and your care for us as lost sinners. That for all those, Lord, who will call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved and shall be saved. That's an assurance. But Lord, as we move on today to look at the gospel in our trials, Father, we know that the Word of God is useful as we think about eternal life and our salvation. But yet, Lord, you still choose to tell us that the gospel is also precious when we go through the trials and tribulations of this life. And so, Father, I pray that if a Christian today, as a believer in Christ, needs that comfort and that encouragement, I pray that you will touch that person's heart with your word today. Not by my words, but by your words and through the Holy Spirit. Fill us all, Lord, with listening that will honor you so that we can listen to what you have to say and, Father, be able to apply into our lives. And we pray for someone who may not know Christ as a Savior. I pray today you open his eyes too. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who have been following Romans chapter 5, we see that as a believer in Christ, we have been saved by Christ, and the gospel is so precious to us. But you know what? Paul shifts his focus away from our eternal salvation to present-day problems. All right? So by way of introduction, man is born unto trouble. The Bible says there in Job chapter 5, at least in over there, John chapter 5, in verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as a sparks fly upwards. You notice that when there's sparks, okay, it always goes this way. It doesn't go this way. It always goes this way. So basically, the verse is saying that when we are born, we face trouble. Okay? You can speak to brothers only and sister Agnes. The troubles of sleep have started after little. All of us, when we had children, you know, say bye-bye sleep when the children come. And you know, sometimes it gets troublesome because we get tired. We find that we cannot concentrate. But this is just part and parcel of life. So yet man is born unto trouble as a sparks fly upwards. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. All right, isn't that true? Amen? Okay, how much trouble we have. But that's the reality of life. Troubles challenges our beliefs. Troubles that come into our life challenges our belief. It challenges our faith. If you look at the first verse there, Jonah chapter 1 verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Interesting. Jonah was a prophet. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach to them because I'm going to deal with them, but I want to send you there to warn them so I can save them. All right? It's interesting. So I know in the Old Testament, many times it's about God's judgment, but within there, you will always see the love of God. All right? In the prophets, when they talk about judgment, you must always remember the reason why the prophets are sent to preach is because God in his love wants to reach them. Does that make sense? So Jonah wanted to run away. And so he went onto a ship. He bought a ticket. He said, God says, go this way. No, say Jonah says, no, I'm going this way. So he ran away from God, went into a ship. And then, of course, as a believer in Christ, if you run away from God, God's not going to let you go. And so Jonah had problems as he sailed. The storms came. Okay, the storms came. And when the storm came, the mariners, those people in the ship, started to cry to their God because their lives is at stake, all right? Even an atheist, people who don't believe in God will pray when they get into trouble. Say, I wish there was a God who helped me. Sometimes people will go through that. Okay? Trials will challenge what we believe. The trials in our life, whether you're a Christian or not, will challenge us. Okay? But you know, even as a believer in Christ, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold, that means a lot, one over another, manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Christians, every time, if you're a believer in Christ, when you are in Christ, every trial or test you face will be a trial of your faith. How many of you will quit your job because you have a sickness? Some of us will, won't. I mean, of course, you will say how serious the sickness is. But no, when you face a crisis in your family, you're not going to quit your job, are you? You may quit church. You may quit reading the Bible. You may stop praying. Why? Because every trial, you have to confront what you really believe. And God uses that to make us purer. Okay? Okay, let me just turn back, look back there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Notice that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Apostle Peter wrote this, he was writing to a group of Jewish Christians who were facing the persecution that could mean their lives. Say, the trial of your faith, and that faith is more precious than gold. Okay? How do people purify gold? How do we purify gold? We put it through extreme heat, right? I think it's about 1,000 over degrees so that the fire, the heat can burn off the impurities so that then when at the end of the whole process, the gold becomes purer. Okay? You know what Peter says? Your faith is much more precious than gold. So that when you're put through the extreme heat, you may be found to the praise and glory of Christ, at the appearing of Christ. There is a reason for the believer. Trials have a purpose. For believers, all trials have a purpose. All trials have a purpose. My brethren, count it all joy, or consider it a joyful thing, when you fall into diverse temptations. The word fall doesn't mean accidentally, okay? It means just when you are in temptations. So my beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. Okay. Generally, human beings are very impatient. We want it and we want it now. There was one guy who prayed, God, I want patience and I want it now. God says, let him sweat a bit. You know, we want it now, right? We got instant coffee. We got instant noodles. Now I think you have instant chili crab. Right? In Pongo, they have this vending machine. I mean, you may have to wait for a while. But the vending machine chili crab is $88. What do you expect is chili crab? I think it's two pieces. But this new concept of avoid that vending. You basically can go there and you eat laksa, anything, you know. So I think it's in Pongo somewhere, but how many of you have tried that or know about that? I just saw it on the television. We got instant everything. But you know, God wants us to have patience because it grows character. But let patience have a perfect work. That means when you go through trials, let patience, let what God wants to do, let God do that perfecting work that will mature you in Christ, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Notice the will of God in your trials is to make you stronger. God's will, some of you may be following it in your notes, God's will is such that we become stronger after we're going through the trials that has been allowed in our lives. Some of you, as a church, we know the church in Nepal is going through a hard time. Okay, we support Brother Cloud, Mrs. Cloud, going through a very, very hard time. And we got news also that people are not speaking very kindly of Mrs. Cloud and Brother Cloud. But you know what? I received an email from Brother Cloud and says he knows that they will only get stronger through the trial. Our faith the situations don't determine the strength of our faith. Are you listening? The situations don't determine the strength of our faith. Our response to God does. It's how we respond to God in the way that He wants us to respond that makes us strong. Example, if I'm training for the Olympics, which I'm not, I will have to listen to what my coach tells me to do. Yes? And my attitude and how I train in response to his instruction will determine how well I perform. Yes? That is exactly what James means here. Allow God, participate, interact. Let God do what he wants to do with you and you actively trusting him in that process, and God will make you stronger. Christians tend to, or not just Christians, generally people back off from tribulations. Why? They don't like it. No one likes to go through trouble. Yes? But we have a loving Heavenly Father that knows that sometimes some kind of fire is important for us to make us strong, to face life. Okay? God's will is such that we become stronger after going through the trials that has been allowed in our lives. So how do we become stronger? In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, let me just read 1, 2, and then connect it with 3. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? In the past, we were non-believers. We did not believe in Jesus Christ. I have an experience whereby I was working in the hospital one time, and I was walking past the ICU, and there was this parent in there was wailing and crying, and oh my son. And the child was baby having multiple problems because he was there, okay? And then I went to the department that I was working, and there was another believer. He's obviously a believer. The child had multiple problems too. But, you know, she could just calmly tell me, say, well, whatever is God's will, I'm going to trust God, and God's giving me strength to go through that. The difference in the response. A non-believer wailing and crying because there is no hope. A believer having multiple problems too, say, God is going to take us through. You know, when we are in Christ, our position gives us the assurance of God being with us, okay? Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. As believers in Christ, we have the privilege of being in the presence of God. You can't see God, right? No, we can't see God. But the Bible teaches us, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, we take that, this is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. And when God says that, we take it by faith and say, Lord, you are with us. You are with us. Then in verse 3, notice Paul switched that. And not only so, you have eternal peace with God. But not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You may think Paul is a nutcase. How can you glory? The word glory means boast about. That I'm in trouble. When we talk about trouble, it's not caused by himself, okay? It was because he was preaching the gospel. Things in his life, he was often in shipwrecks and people offended by his preaching. Doesn't mean he's wrong, but he went through a lot of trials. But the Bible says that, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, okay? Our first point, our settled position in Christ as a believer in Christ gives us confidence in our tribulations. That's what Paul is saying. We are settled in Christ. If you're a Christian, I spoke about it last week. When you're a Christian, your position is settled. As far as God is concerned, your debt is paid. Past, present, future, sin, all paid for. Okay? It's all paid for. That's why we are completely secure in Christ. Every time we sin, the sin account is placed on Christ. All right? And that doesn't give us a license to sin. It should humble us not to sin. Okay? Because you know what? God saved us from an eternal damnation. If you're not a Christian today, Jesus Christ already died to pay for your sins. All right? And when we put our faith in Christ, we turn away from our sin, put our faith in Christ, we realize, Lord, that you love us so much that if I put my faith on the cross, you're going to save me for all eternity. But you know what Paul is saying? Remember I told you that the Heavenly Father will meet you at the cross, and when we come to the cross, we have been accepted by God. And once we're accepted by God, your entire life is in the favor of God. Your entire life. And because we are in Christ, He gives us confidence when we go through the difficulties of life. Because you know what? You're not alone. Our settled position in Christ gives us confidence in our trials and tribulations. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us in a few verses, I just want to show you Psalm 56, verse 13. The Bible says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Would thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living?" You know, that verse simply saying, if God has saved me from eternal death, you think God's not going to take care of you here? You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, many Christians say, "God, thank you for saving me, but I'm very worried whether I can pay my bills." That's not faith. You know what? The Bible is very clear. Because God has saved us from death, will thou not deliver my feet? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 to 10, okay? Paul, let me just read as you're turning there. 12 verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul was very aware that he can be proud, okay? For those who understand this, in verse 8, Paul actually had a thorn in his flesh. Many commentators believe, many Christians believe that his problem was he couldn't see properly. He had a big eyesight problem, okay? And the Bible says, "For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that he might depart from me." Many faith healing people say, "Oh, as long as you believe in God, God's going to heal you." The great apostle Paul's eyesight couldn't be healed, even though 3 times he asked God for it. Why? Because God is the one in charge of healing. Yes, I believe he can still heal today, but not in the way the faith healers teach. But Paul says, 3 times I besought the Lord to heal me. You know what he says? And he said to me, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul, you don't need to see well. You need to learn to depend on me. Trials in your life, sometimes you pray, "God, please set me free from this." God says no, because there's something in your life I want you to learn. I want you to grow from. You know, kind of like a trainer who knows that, come on, this athlete can do a bit more. And the athlete is complaining, said, "No, you're going to do one more lap." And you do, "No, you're going to do one more lap." Why? Because I want to train you. See, God knows how much we can take. And you know what was Paul's response? Interesting. You see, when Paul prayed, God responded. The answer to our prayer is not always, "Yes, I'll give it to you." This is what Paul is telling us. And said, "I prayed to God to take away this pain. And this, I really cannot see, bro. It's a thorn in the flesh." Some of us have thorns in the flesh. Things that trouble us. You know what God says? "I don't need to take away your thorn. I need to give you grace to bear with it." Oh, that is painful. Sometimes when we go through things in life, we say, "Lord, I don't want to go through this. It's so painful." But you know what? Those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ will understand. God in His love says, "No, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. The favor that I have for you." You know what God is actually saying? "In your most painful time, I am going to hold you. I am going to watch over you. I'm going to make sure that pain just is that pain, but the rest of you are going to be intact." It's just like kind of when a child has to go through some treatment, maybe cancer treatment, or there's a lot of pain. Doctor have to inject that thing into your body, the child. And child, "Oh, I don't want. What does the child do? Throws himself onto his parent. Right? "Oh, mommy, I'm pain. Oh, sayang. What's that got to do? The relationship with the parent. What do you think God wants to do? Children, when your parents is no longer around, you'll probably remember the times that when you go through the hardest time, your mom and dad was there with you. And can I tell you, when you go through the hardest time, God is always there with you. And Paul is teaching us this. Notice Paul's response after this. "My grace is sufficient for thee," verse 9, "for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." How many of you know who Brother Spurgeon is? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. You know, God is all strength. You know what God doesn't have? He doesn't have weakness. He says, give me your weakness, and I'll give you my strength. Your weakness becomes strength when you give it to God. That's what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The best place to exhibit God's glory in his strength is in when you and I admit where we are the weakest. Because if we think that we can do it, God doesn't have to do it. But we feel that we cannot do it, that's when God says, I will be magnified in your life. And that's why for most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. Huh? You know what Paul is saying? I'm willing to take all kinds of insults. I'm willing to suffer all kinds of illnesses. I'm willing to go through all the reproach that I have to do for Christ's sake. You know why? Because when I go through that and I humble myself, then God's strength can be manifested in my life. Christians, if you after much prayer and you find that God is not delivering you from that, say, God, I pray that your strength and your glory will be shown through my life as I go through this trial. That God is not going to be me, it's going to be all you. That when the people looking at you will say, hey, that is something special about this person, God's on this person. Does it make sense? There is a purpose for trials in a Christian's life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. Then they love God. That's a promise, by the way. That's a promise. You see, when you're in the favor of God, everything that happens to you, permitted by God, is always for your good as a believer in Christ. Always, 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 always for your good. There is nothing but good that comes from God. Amen? For a Christian who is his child. I want to encourage you with that. Three things that happens when we trust in God's grace. Our settled position in Christ gives us confidence in our trials. Because in God's grace, tribulations grows us. The Bible says, knowing this, that the Romans chapter 5 verse 3, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Tribulations works patience. Tribulation can work impatience too. When Christians get impatient, God, I want to get out of this situation. You know what? The Bible teaches us that God's trials on our life is to work patience in our life. Okay? Helps us, tribulation grows us. It grows us. How? Because if God in love and grace saved me, how can I doubt his plan for me, even though things do not go as I would expect it to be? Did you get that? If God in love and grace saved me, he did everything he could to save me, how can I doubt his plan for me, even though things do not go as I would expect it to be in this life? Think about that for a while. God has already given his son to die for us. He planned the elaborate plan all the way from Genesis 3:15 and continuously. Genesis 49 verse 10, he told us which tribe Jesus will be from. In Isaiah 7:14, he told us that Jesus will be born of a virgin. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, he told us where Jesus will be born, the city where he will be born. God has planned everything, and Jesus even went to the cross for us. And you know what? On the day that Jesus died, more than 30 prophecies were fulfilled. God, do you know that in the entire life of Jesus, to save us, God had to fulfill 333 prophecies to save us. In probability, that's 1 times 10 to the power of 144 zeros. Near infinity. You cannot do it except God. Now, if God is so careful about the plan to save us from eternal death, don't you think that he has a good plan for us in our life too? And that is an amen. I hope it's an amen in your heart as believers. Knowing this, that the tribulation works patience. Number one, tribulation, because in God's grace, tribulations grows us. Number two, because in God's grace, tribulation transforms us. Notice Revelation 5, verse 4. 3 to 4, let me just read that. after the Bible says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Notice a process. Firstly, we go through the tribulation. Then after that, you say, okay, God, I know it's going to, I know I need to endure. You know, in army, you say endure. You better endure, right? Why? Because after that, when you finish, you develop experience. You begin to realize, oh, this is what God wants me to do. And after you've gone through the trial, you have that experience, it generates hope that it is possible for you to go through the trial. And I don't know about you, how many of you here in the army would ever want to go through army training again? Not me. But you know what? Do we have good memories in army training? Fun times? I don't know about you, I had fun times. But I'm not going to go through it again. But you know what? During the army, it trained in me certain things that I would have never gotten if I didn't go through the training. And sometimes the training is tough. Sometimes the training is tough. But you know what? Once you go through it, you develop that experience, and the experience generates hope. In God's grace, tribulations is designed to transform us. God doesn't put his child through pain for fun. He puts us through pain to transform us, to change us into his likeness. And then because in God's grace, number three, tribulation equips us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. It equips us. God who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And I encourage you, if you're a Christian in tribulation right now, the one that can comfort you really is God. You know, many Christians can surround the person and we can pray for them and all that. No, real person that can encourage the heart is God. Just an aside, it's important as a church we surround people who are hurting, but we also need to realize that person needs to interact with God. That they themselves need to appropriate and appreciate and accept God's grace in their lives. In 2 Corinthians 1, 4, I read the rest. Who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Can you understand that? Basically, our tribulations equip us to help someone else. Because we received the comfort from God, now we can help someone else. That's the purpose of trials. Christians, as you grow stronger through trials, you know, those who are older in the faith, that's why we are more equipped to help a younger believer take steps to grow towards Christ. Okay? And so tribulation equips us so that when you see another person go through the same thing, say, ha, been there, done that, come, let me talk to you, let me share with you my experience. Of course, you don't tell him. Well, you can tell him if he's allowing you to, but you know what? You can share your experience, say, this is what I went through. God was so good. No, you can trust God too. You can trust God too. All right? So the first point is, in our settled position in Christ, we can be confident because tribulations have a purpose in our lives. Okay? It equips us, it transforms us, and gives us that hope that we have. Okay? So point number two, we are assured. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 4, and patience, experience, hope. We are assured that through tribulation, we can have hope. We can have hope. Hope in the Bible is always real hope. Hope that will come to pass. Okay? In Romans chapter 5, verse 4, and patience, experience, hope. Faith in Christ can take you through your trial, and each time you go through the trial, we can have that hope. You know, just the same as when in the gospel, this hope is not what we hope it to be. It's what God's design for us. And we can hope that God, whatever I go through, I can't see, but I know that it's always for the best. Let's turn to Job chapter 23, all right? This is another verse. Job chapter 23. And this is the hope they were talking about. Because sometimes when you go through trials, everything is dark. It's a song we sang just now. Sometimes the day seems long, the trials hard to bear, and we just don't seem to be able to see any way out. In Job chapter 23, if you turn to your Bibles, Job, Job was in bad company. Okay, his three friends are supposed to come and comfort him. They were the most miserable comforters. Job was also saying, ah. But in Job chapter 23, verse 7, notice what he says. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. I cannot understand where he is. I don't understand what's happening. On my left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And he hides himself the right hand, that I cannot see him. You know what Job is saying? I look left, I look right, I look front, I look back. I can't find God. Do you feel like that sometimes? Oh God, where are you? But you know what? Verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's a hope. Christians, I'm not going to tell you that you will be able to find reasons for everything you go through. But you know what? Can I give you this Bible reason? He knows the way that you take. And when you have gone through that, you will come forth as gold. There was one man, I think one evangelist was saying, one lady who came to the evangelist and said, this evangelist so-and-so, you know, my daughter, my husband just surrendered for full time. He's in Bible college training. And we gave birth to a deformed child. Why? Why is God like that? You know what the evangelist says? Ma'am, I don't know why, but God has never made a mistake. Because the moment he made a mistake, he sees us to be God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Sometimes it's hard to believe that, isn't it? Sometimes, God, why in the world? I've done so much, and yet I have to go through this. You just believe that God still has a plan? By the way, God has never been deceived before. He can't. And his plan is always the best. You know, as God sees in heaven, looks down on us, and for us as Christians, he stays with us, do we believe that his plan is always the best? And that sometimes in life, we don't actually need the reason. Like a child that is in pain, that runs to the mom and the dad and grabs the leg and says, "Mom, pain." No, the child don't need a reason. The child needs God's comfort. But you know what? The Bible says, as you go through that, you can trust that God does have a plan. What's his plan? We don't know. That's our hope. Our God always knows, and he always gives us that hope in whatever situation. See, for a Christian going through the bleakest time, there is always hope. I read one book one time, just this one, and then I'll finish in Job 23. The book is entitled Behind a Frowning Providence. Behind a Frowning Providence. That simply means that, you know, sometimes you look around, everything is dark. And the sky is dark and it's raining. You know what the author said? Above the clouds, the sun is still shining. The sun is still shining. We can see sometimes humanly all the things around. Our God is still on the throne. Our God is still righteous. He's still holy. And if God have to deal, even send his own son, the gospel tells us to die for us, that he will not compromise his holy, but he will do everything he can to save us from eternal death. Won't he do everything he can to protect you and give you the best in this life as well? And the things of this life you go through, he already has that plan. Have hope. And Paul says this. Let me just finish in Job 23. So what should be our response when we look at that? In verse 11, Job 23, verse 11, after Paul, Job says, I shall come forth as gold, right? That's a hope. You know what he says? My foot had held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Believers in Christ, sometimes when you go through the trial, you say, how am I supposed to respond? I don't know what to do. You know what Job says? I don't know what God is doing, but you know what? I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to follow what he says. I'm not going to chide him. I'm not going to sin foolishly. I'm just going to do right all the time. I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do and let God do the rest. Yesterday, during fasting and praying, I said one thing I believe with all my heart. Your waiting time is God's working time. Did you get that? our waiting time, and sometimes we're in distress. Where is God? It's God's working time. For a believer in Christ, don't believe the lie that God looks at us and laughs at us as we go through. Sometimes the devil will say, where is God? God is always working. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we are impatient. But you know what? Our waiting time is God's working time. God has two reasons for making us wait. Number one, He is engineering things behind that we don't ever have any idea about, number one. But number two, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the reason why God makes us wait sometimes is God wants to make us resilient, make us strong, not in ourselves, but in Him. Okay? And so that's the second point. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 4. And patience, experience hope. We are sure that through tribulation we can have hope. Point number three. Oh, I wanted to read this verse for you. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, okay? Romans chapter 8. Let me just read, then I'll move on. This is the hope you can have, beloved. What shall we say then to these things, to the trials and tribulations that come at us? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. In other words, sometimes in our trial we say, I might have sinned. You know what God says? Who shall lay any charge to my elect? I'm the one that justifies. Christians, if you have done nothing wrong, in your trial, God looks at you and says, that's my son, that's my daughter. And the world, and even internally, you may feel, God, I'm to blame. God says, no, you're justified. You're justified. You realize how encouraging that is? That the King of the universe said, you are justified. In the trial that you go through, I lay nothing to your charge. I'm the one who has justified you. Okay? And then let's move on. In verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also making intercession for us. Our Savior is praying for us. In the trial that you go through, the Lord Jesus never ceases to pray for you. He is the one that liveth ever. And He makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. No, this is Paul's experience. Every day, Paul is exposed to death. He can be killed for the gospel. But I want to read in verse 37, 38, 39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything. Any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No trial on earth, no angel in heaven, no devil in hell will separate us from Christ. Amen? And Christians, we need to stand strong in that. Yes, we go through trials. Yes, we go through difficulties. But if you are saved in Christ, you can have hope. Last point. We are assured, let's turn back to Romans chapter 5. We are assured that in this hope, we will not be ashamed. Romans chapter 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Hope doesn't make us ashamed. Sometimes, as believers in Christ, the world will laugh and say, oh, you Christians, you surrender all for Christ. See what you've got? Oh, you poor thing. You young people, you poor thing. You give out your Korean movie. You know, see, everyone is enjoying themselves. You know, that's going to be the lie that Satan will throw at young believers as they try to make a stand. Oh, you poor thing. And then, you know, young believers may say, really, I've got to go through this. And you know, you paisei, you feel that you're being put down compared to other people. And many Christians have gone through this thought process before. If following Christ means I've got to give up so many things, it's not worth it, man. Not worth it. It's not worth it. But you know what? The Bible tells us when you have hope in Christ, the gospel makes you not ashamed. Makes you won't be ashamed. The word hope maketh not ashamed means it doesn't dishonor you. It doesn't embarrass you to be a, you're not embarrassed to be a Christian because of the suffering that you've been put down by the world. Does that make sense? The world may say, you're a Christian. And when I was in the army, that's what all my commanders did. He said, oh, you're a Christian. Pui. That's what he did. He said, you don't drink. Pui. He did that. So just keep quiet. I mean, I'm a Christian, so if you want to treat me like that, that's your prerogative. But it doesn't stop me from being a Christian, amen? I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I hope you're not too. But you know what, teenagers? You may have that because you're in a group of friends. And not everyone in your friend may understand your position as a Christian. There's certain things you don't do, certain things you say, because I want to keep close to Christ, I don't say certain things, I don't crack dirty jokes, I don't laugh at them. And you may feel ashamed and say, oh God, if I'm a Christian, I'm like that. You know what? If you're a Christian in Christ, it shouldn't make you ashamed. Because this kind of hope doesn't make you ashamed. It doesn't make you put down. It doesn't put you down. In our trials and our sufferings, our hope in Christ, that He is with us, that His grace is sufficient, that is all He says to be to us, that we will win in the end. You know what? We don't have to be ashamed when we place faith in Christ and His gospel. The Bible says we shall never be ashamed. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, let me just read there. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Where was Paul when he was writing this? He was in prison. Paul was in prison when he was writing this. He says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul wasn't depending on himself. You're depending on the prayer of the Philippian church. You're depending on the Holy Spirit. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul was so clear. Because you are praying for me, the Holy Spirit is strengthening me. I'm not going to be ashamed of anything. But that with all boldness, as always so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Paul says, as I sit in prison, you are praying for me, the Holy Spirit strengthening me. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to bring glory to Christ, whether by my life, or by my death. That's confidence, my friends. Christians, no matter what you go through, you can have that confidence too. Because there are many Christians praying for you, and the Holy Spirit is still our help. He's still our help. In Isaiah 50 and verse 7, the Bible says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall not be confounded. If you try to be your own help, you will be confounded because there's always 一山还有一山高, there's always one mountain higher than another mountain, except if you're in Nepal. And by the way, do you know Mount Everest is not the highest mountain? There are mountains in the Mariana Trench that's higher. Okay, no, there are higher mountains. Okay? I might be geographically wrong, but if you're comparing differences, but you know what? There will always be someone smarter, right? But you know what? If God is my help, as if, for the Lord God will help me. There's no one higher than God. If God's going to be my help, therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what's a flint? In other words, I can look boldly at my trials and say, I'm not going to be affected because God is my help. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, as 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. That refers to Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth on Christ shall not be ashamed. The nature of hope that we have is that we're being justified by God. We have access into God's presence. And we will be in heaven forever next time. You can kill me. I'll be in the presence of God. But Brother Johnny, how does this work out in my salvation? You know, how are we able to go through this without being ashamed? The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, you know, as I was studying this, that's really amazing. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Let me explain. How do we as Christian appropriate this? Because the Bible says the love of God, referring to love that comes only from God, the perfect love, is poured out abundantly. The word shed abroad means to pour out abundantly into our hearts. When you get saved, you get the character of Christ in your life. Did you know that? Because God's Holy Spirit comes in you. God, His divine nature comes into us. God's love comes into us. And everything that God has is actually passively poured into you because that's what God has given to you, His grace. Everything is poured into you, okay? Into our hearts by the Holy Ghost at salvation unto us. The reason why Christians can have strength when you go through trials, because when we get saved, you don't just fight with your own nature. You've got the nature of Christ in you. You have God inside of you. I'm not saying you become Superman or God, but I'm just saying that God lives in us because He promised He will. His Holy Spirit's in us. And as we respond to His Word and His Holy Spirit working in us, we get strong. And we can overcome. We are able to overcome. And when God's love overwhelms us, you know what will be our thinking process? This is what Paul means when he says the love of God is shed abroad. If God loved me so much, He's willing to die for me, I believe He has a plan for me. That's as simple as it is. Every child here, can I ask Ezra or maybe Chichi and Jingrei, have you ever asked mommy and daddy how much they earn? Have you ever asked mommy and daddy, when is my lunch? No, right? Why? Are you very confident that daddy will provide for you? You sure? Why? Why are you so confident your daddy will provide for you? Or maybe Asher, you want to help them? Why? Why? You don't know. Because He always provides. It's interesting. Chichi Jingrei cannot give me an answer, but they believe that Uncle Henry will provide. Some of us don't even know why God loves us so much. God still provides for us. Amen. You know, sometimes when we come to Christ, Lord, I don't know what to do, but God still takes care of us. I don't know about you, I hope that encourages you. There is actually a phrase in the gospel, let me just, the gospel that is firmly understood, applied, and appropriate to the believer's heart will sustain them through the fiercest opposition and the most terrible tragedy. You know the song, When Peace Like a River? When peace like a river attendeth my way. You know who wrote that? I think it was Horatio or someone. You know the background of the story? He saw his wife and his daughters died when the ship in front of him sank. His whole family wiped out. And he said, it is well with my soul. You know, you can only be confident in this life when you know a Savior that has the best plan. The Bible says, Job chapter 1, the last verse, Job who lost his property, he lost everything that he had. And it's quite interesting, there was one, if you read Job chapter 1, first he lost all his property, he lost all his cattle, he was sad, but you know what? When he lost all his children, that was when he stood up and mourned. When the most precious thing in your life is taken away from you. It's so tempting to say, God, where are you? But you know what Job says? In all these things, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You know what Job said? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what Job said? I know God has a plan. All the things I have, my children, the things I have, the property I have, it's not mine. If God wants to give, it's His prerogative. If God wants to take away, that's fine. I will bless Him. The Bible says in all these things, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want to hear a few words from Christians. My Lord Jesus Christ, for my sake, did wear a crown of thorns. Why should I not then, for His sake, wear this light crown, be it ever so ignominious, meaning be it so shameful? Another person said, for our lives are in the Lord's hands. They can do nothing unto us unless God allow them. therefore give all thanks to God. Polycarp answered, Polycarp was the disciple, was it Ignatius? I think Polycarp was one of the disciples of the apostles. Answered, 86 years have I served him, and he never wronged me, referring to Christ. How then shall I blaspheme my king who saved me? Do you know all these three people, you know, when they said that, they were told, either you reject Christ or you burn. You know what they said? For 86 years I've served Jesus and he has never wronged me. How can I even blaspheme his name? And Polycarp was burnt at the stake for Christ. As we close, I hope Christians, the God would encourage your heart today. Your faith in Christ. Faith in Christ does Jesus take you to heaven. It takes you through life. Amen. Your faith in a God. See, the gospel is not just about Jesus Christ. Yes, it's about Jesus Christ dying, buried, and rose again. And once we put our faith in Christ, every single thing that you ever go through, is you are safe in our Savior. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, "What? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life." Only a Christian has that. If you're not a believer in Christ, you have no God's grace, favor on you. You know what you have on you? The Bible says, John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you." If you're a sinner today, if you have never trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, your personal Savior, God doesn't want to do it, but you've got to be judged for your sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's where the cross is, where when we are sinners, we cannot save ourselves. God is holy. He cannot cross. But you know what God says, all right? I'll meet you at the cross. And he gave his Son. And when we are willing to say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of my sin. And I put my faith in the cross," God meets us there. And the rest of our life is in his grace. Okay? And I hope God challenges our heart as we think on this. If you're a Christian today, can I encourage you? There's nothing wrong that you've done. No trial that has gone through that will ever take you away from a Savior who loves you so much. Let's bow forward our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these words will be such an ointment, a balm, a medicine for the discouraged Christian. And that, Lord, for Christians who really need you, I ask you to be their comfort, Lord. As a pastor, I can only pray and preach and share the truth of such grace. God, only you can encourage the tired heart. Voice goes heads bow. Can I just ask you a question? If you're a Christian, does someone say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through a tough time, but I know God's going to be with me." Is there someone like that? I'll be praying for you. Amen. I see that hand. Someone else. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. I see that hand too. In your heart, pray. Remember, amen. I see that hand too. It's you and God. I can tell you what God is willing to do, but you've got to go to him and plead with him at the cross. Someone else. All right, if you're not a Christian, whatever I told you is not available for you. Not because God doesn't want you, but God's got to meet you at the cross. And say, "Brother Johnny, if that's the Savior you preach, and he's got such love, I want him too." Is there someone like that? "Brother Johnny, I don't know. If I were to die right now, I have my sins forgiven and God will accept me into his heaven. I would like to know more." Is there someone like that? I wouldn't force you to do anything. I'm not asked to join the church. I just let a brother or sister share with you so that you yourself can understand the gospel and accept Christ. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters who have put up their hands, Lord. We don't know what they're going through, but you do. And we thank you. You're an all-knowing God. You're not only an all-knowing God, you're an all-feeling God. You're not an all-feeling God. You're all gracious God. And you have done everything you can to save us from hell and sin. And God, you promised in your word that I will never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And all the promises are in him, yea, and in him, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we can trust God with all our hearts. We can lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we can acknowledge you and you will direct our path. And in Romans 8, Lord, you told us nothing shall separate us from your love. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. We are thankful for that. I pray for my precious brothers and sisters who have indicated a need. Lord, I don't know what the need is, but you do. And I pray you give them a double portion of your Spirit. Fill them and help them to have that faith to trust you more. And that, God, the tribulations in their life will grow them to be stronger Christians, so that when they look at other people, they can encourage others who are going through the same thing. I pray that we will be stronger Christians as a result. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And I pray for those who put up their hands, that you will meet them in a special way that only you can. Lord, I'm human. I don't know how to do it, but you do. And I pray, when they pray, Lord, I pray that even sometimes it's hard for them to pray because they don't know what to pray. But we thank you in Romans chapter 8, you promise that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us, so that, Lord, we will be changed according to your will. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray as we sing the closing hymn that you would build us up. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.